You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hope you're having a great day. We certainly have so far, but it's not over. We're here till 6 at Hooters Mall of Georgia location, guys. Come on out and hang out with us. We're having a great time out here. Today was fun to see a different team, Mike, a different uniform in the Tennessee Titans show up at Flowery Branch. You said, because I was already in the facility, and you were like, the Titans just showed up getting off the bus, and people were going nuts out there.
Yeah, man, I rolled in here about 9:30, and you want to talk about a packed house. Maybe just a little bit shy of what we saw on the Saturdays and Sundays. The practice was open to the public at Flowery Branch, but a huge crowd. The Titans have been basically here since Saturday, according to published reports. So they roll in, and place is going bananas. And they basically just rolled off the bus and got right on the field. So things got cooking about 9:40 this morning. Practice wrapped up about a little bit after, what, 12:15, 12:20?
Sure.
And again, NFL rules, guys. This is why we talk about, you know, why are things the way they are? It's 2 hours, man. It's basically 2 hours of practice. That's all you get.
Yeah. And look, they're trying to get work in. Titans want to work on things. Falcons want to work on things. Coach Callahan, who's the coach of the Titans, and Coach Raheem Morris, they collaborated on what they needed. And so we're getting the chance to see some really good work. 11-on-11, some 7-on-7, one-on-ones. And it's best on best. So, look, we'll see what happens tomorrow as they continue to work towards the regular season. But the news today, again, if you're just joining us for the first time, is that it looks like we will not see Michael Penix Jr. in the second preseason game. And again, Ra alluded to that after being asked the question today. What about Kirk Cousins? He said, we'll talk to Kirk. We'll see. And that's really going to depend on, guys, what work is done here, not between today and tomorrow. But Mike Penix is probably not going to play.
And the other thing, and we're just talking at the bar with Neil and some of the other guys that are big Falcon fans, lifetime Falcon fans, who said, please don't sell me hope. He goes, are you guys going to get us hooked on hopium this year? And I said, no, I said, joked around about being more pragmatic. But one of the things we just talked about at the bar here at Hooters Mall of Georgia, the Darnell Mooney injury is pretty serious.
Big.
If he can't go, you're relying on Casey Washington. You're relying on other guys. Ray McLeod is a nice piece. He's more of a slot guy. He's a speed element. We saw him with an end around. There's things you can get him the ball. But Darnell Mooney does things that nobody else on this roster can do. So if he's not ready to go, and Raheem Morris, I said, quote, I feel good about getting Darnell Mooney back and ready to go. When? I don't know. So, I mean, that leaves us, the media, to speculate. Has he had something that required a procedure?
Right.
Did he have to go under the knife? Did he get something tweaked? Now, we don't know that. But you're not giving us a time frame for the return of your second best wide receiver. That's a problem for me right now.
Yeah. It's an issue that I pointed out because the progress report has not improved. Usually when a guy's getting better, we get intervals of he's on his way back. He's
right.
Working his way back. We hope to see him sooner than later. Like, we've got none of that. So, I don't know. We will see. Week one is still weeks away. That's the good news, Mike. As I pointed out on social media today, we still got time. But right now, it just doesn't look good. More on the Falcons coming up, guys. We'll let you hear some of the guys and what they had to say about camp. Also, our interview with Cordero Hodge coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. That's on the way. And also, Mike, got some guy talk for you. But before we get to all of that, let's talk some dogs. So Glenn Schumann wants to fix Georgia's run game, which had 121 missed tackles last season. which according to PFF was F, that is, which keeps all these stats, was up from 85 in 2023. So 2023, you had 85 missed tackles. Last year, you went up to 121 missed tackles. The Dogs also gave up 3.71 yards per carry. That was tied for 31st nationally. It's not good enough, guys. And when we talk about when the Dogs went back-to-back, teams were not running the ball and getting 3.7 a pop. That was not happening. So how do you do this, Mike? How do you get better, and how do you improve tackling and specifically fixing the defense when it comes to the run game? Glenn Schumann says we got to be more physical, and we asked Connor Riley this question, and he said it's one of the things that they're trying to get back. But I don't think you get it back when you don't have guys like Jordan Davis up front,
yeah,
Mike.
And you also lost, you know, Jalen Walker and Mykal Williams to the
That's
NFL.
Right.
Now, Mykal was banged up for much of the season, but Jalen Walker was literally a one-man gang. So especially with the limited time you have to practice now compared to what you used to in college, just like the pros, hopefully these guys find a way, and they've got the dudes. We've talked a lot about, you know, how good K.J. Bolden is on the back in the safety position, but up front in that front seven, who is that guy?
Who's that
guy? To your point, it's a major problem. I know that I'm bullish on the Georgia Bulldogs, but I'm just a little worried about the offensive line. And I guess we could add that into the mix based on those numbers. The tackling, the defense, we think is going to be the calling card. We think the defense is going to get leaned on while the offense finally finds its identity. The new skill position players, the transfer portal guys start making some plays. But that's a pretty scary stat.
No, it is. And look, Schumann, he knows these numbers. He knows where they were and where they need to get back to. But Georgia's defense should never be ranked 31st nationally in any category. It should always be top 10. And if you're really good, Mike, you're going to be top 5. And then if you're really, really good, you're going to be where they were when they won those two chips.
Right.
Where, you know, you're holding teams to under 10 points a game, and teams cannot run the football on you, and you make them one-dimensional. Meanwhile, Ty Simpson's going to open up as the Alabama starter. Kalen DeBoer making this statement, Mike, and making it official. We saw him at SEC Media Days.
Right.
He did not state at SEC Media Days who the starter was. Simpson, who served as Alabama's backup the past two seasons behind Jalen Milroe, beat out redshirt sophomore Austin Mack and also a guy named Keelon Russell for the job.
As you mentioned, he's a 22-year-old, so he's basically bided his time. Kind of reminds you a little bit of, I mean, the time frame, not the physical style, but Carson Beck, how he waited his turn. Gunnar Stockton has waited his turn. So it's kind of the old-school way of doing things at Alabama, so he wins the gig. But remember how shaky Milroe looked?
Oh, yeah.
2 years ago? I mean, and I thought Milroe regressed at times last season. Certainly near the end, that Oklahoma game, but we'll see. They'll get the test of Florida State. A lot of Florida State fans like me just don't know what the Seminoles are going to be.
Blowout.
A lot of new faces, transfer portals, and how effective is that defense going to be?
Blowout.
Don't rub it in. A lot of Alabama fans will be infiltrating Doak.
Yeah, that's true. They're going to make their way down there. Yeah. Look, it's the first game of the season, Mike. Anything can happen. Be positive.
I'm trying. Everybody I talk to at Florida State says, you got to stop, man. Norvell's got a great recruiting class. See, that's the thing.
But it's next year.
The bird in the hand in the recruiting class means less than nothing to me when guys flip all the time.
Yeah.
Even though when you have signed on the line that is dotted.
Well, let me ask you this. Is there any way possible that the season goes awry and they fire Norvell this year?
They don't have the money for the buyout.
So he's there whether they win two games or eight games.
And I do think there's enough Florida State fans drinking the Kool-Aid to think his recruiting class at 26 will be enough to keep it. So, Florida State guys just does not have the kind of coin that other programs have to throw around for these buyouts. And we bought out a lot of guys over the years.
It's
so
true.
It's kind of an issue.
You know who does have the coin? Texas.
Really?
Shut up. And they will be an underdog on the road against Ohio State. This is disrespectful.
Ooh.
For the first time in the program's history, you're number one to start the season, AP number one. Mike, right now they're saying it's +2.5 for Texas. So they are basically a 3-point underdog. It's not that big of a deal. Ohio State's at home. They're getting the benefit of the doubt. But how does the number one team in the country start the season on the road and they come in as underdogs? It's disrespectful.
Because you're in Ohio. So that's kind of why I think people – it's just the home field. Ryan Day talking about Julian Sayin.
Arch Manning for 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, Sayin was Alabama boy, right? Sayin was an Alabama recruit?
Yes, he was. He was Nick Saban.
And he's the guy that's going to be starting. Talking about the quarterback battles. Now, real quick, this is from yesterday. He said he didn't set a timetable for when they're going to decide who their QB is. For the Buckeyes, says there were positives on both ends. There were negatives on both ends. I won't predict when we're going to make that decision. We're getting more and more information. So
he's
Ryan
playing.
So Ryan Day has got 3 weeks. He doesn't know his quarterback.
He's got to be playing games, Mike.
He doesn't know, Carl.
He's got to be playing games.
That Grecian formula in his beard has leaked into his brain. He doesn't know who his quarterback is going to be.
Hey, man, Jimbo Fisher, you ready for this?
Yeah, what did Jimbo have to say? Man, he's a good quarterback. You know, he's a good quarterback. You win some football games, Carl.
I'm 59. I'm in great shape and healthy, and I've had success everywhere I've been. First of all, that's a lie. Yeah. Secondly, he wants to coach again, Mike. He is ready to get back in. He's sitting on a pile of money, and he wants to get back into coaching.
I think you got to be like Gus Malzahn as FSU and other. You got to be an OC somewhere for a big program.
I agree.
And you got to earn your stripes back because, guys, I went to one of those Texas A&M games. That is the most horrible offense I've ever seen. They would literally use every second on the clock. It was like literally watching football in the early 70s in the NFL. There was just nothing. Horrible quarterback play. Quarterbacks didn't get better.
Who did he bring in as the OC? Who was the guy?
He brought in Petrino at the end.
That's right.
Petrino.
That's right.
With lifeless eyes.
The
doll's eyes. The like memories. A shark's eyes.
Petrino, the weasel. No, I love Jimbo, what he did at FSU. And there are a lot of circumstances which kind of got him on the way out. But the Texas A&M experience, his brand is really taking some big hits. So don't you think he's got to go back and win his stripes as an OC somewhere?
Well, look, I mean, I get him selling himself, but he has not been successful everywhere he's been. That's just not true.
No, and all the money that they gave him all the money, but then they threw all the money at A&M, and he still didn't bring home the bacon.
They didn't do anything while he was there. Look, he is a national championship winning coach. You can't take that away from him at Florida State. But I am not hiring Jimbo Fisher just because of that now. He went into a situation where they gave him all the resources he had. Do you guys remember this? You remember when Nick Saban came out and said, well, they're paying their players down at A&M.
Bought that whole class.
He had the number one recruiting class in the country, and they did nothing with it. I'm not believing that Jimbo can go and bring in go to any program and win, Mike. It's got to be the right situation for him. And if I'm an AD or president or a chancellor or whatever, I'm just not taking his phone call because he wants to get back into football coaching. I believe he's got to go to the right place. And you're right. Go be dynamic somewhere as an OC.
Right.
Show that you still have that because you've lost that. You brought in a guy in Bobby Petrino because you had lost that aspect of your coaching career. Show me that, and then we can have this conversation. But he doesn't need the money, guys. Remember, A&M paid him. I think they had 30 or 60 days to do it. $75 million.
Yeah, again.
$75 million.
Hey, don't look at me, man. The alumni and the boosters, their infinite wisdom, Andy Miller ran him out of Florida State. Because the famous joke was, the story goes, according to amongst the Florida State boosters, he said, we're going to spend money on other programs, Jim, like softball. And Jimbo goes, who gives a about women's softball? They did win a championship, but again, no one cares other than friends and family. It's the reality of football sets the tone for your big program.
You can't tell a football coach you're going to spend money on other sports when he is the guy that's the money provider.
That's the way the story supposedly went.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the big story, speaking of money.
Did I tell you Texas is underdogs on the road week one?
Yes. And by the way, I'm jumping all over Texas. You know,
I am too.
Unless, you know, again, if Sarkisian spits the bit.
Would you slow down? It's early in the season.
Hey, man, he's going to choke away a couple of these games.
He's going to be fine.
All right. You have a lot of excuses for why Arch Manning didn't get on the field. The money they paid Quinn Ewers.
There was no
and
rush.
And that's what overrode. How many shots are you going to get in a national championship? Arch Manning should have started those last three games that they played.
Nah, that's outside looking in. Inside, we were calm, cool, and collected.
Yeah. You almost got beat by Kim, what was it? Scataboo?
Scataboo.
That big dude from Arizona State.
Scataboo. He's a giant now, by the way.
The big story today in college football, Carl and I talked about it earlier for guys just tuning in. John Mateer, the transfer from Washington State to Oklahoma. Somebody got underneath his fingernails from his time on his phone at Washington State that people were Venmoing him money. And he says, no. When I wrote sports gambling on these Venmo descriptions, Carl, it was an inside joke between me and my friends. That's what it was. Well, anyway, Oklahoma, as you said, is investigating, but the NCAA will be pretty much hot on their heels as well.
Yeah, we'll see where that goes. I just think it's the timing is not good. You're about to start the season. You don't want this going on with your quarterback. Hey, guys, want to remind you, Cut Down Day is coming, and Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is giving you a chance to win a huge prize, guys, to cut down your yard in style on August 27th, 4 p.m., when the Pro Football Cut deadline hits. We will give one lucky listener a Rolex Reel mower. It's a chance for you to win right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the ultimate tool to cut down your yard in style. For contest rules and to enter, visit 92.9thegame.com. We're coming back. We react to what we saw today, and there was a lot of good. Falcon fans, it was a good day at Flowery Branch.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
At a joint practice with the Titans, Falcons. That was what was going on in Flowery Branch. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. First and foremost, they will have another practice tomorrow. So for fans who did not get a chance to go up and see today, and it was good to see so many Falcon fans. Mike, we were engaged too, and I'm not talking about us. Drake London catches a touchdown, and the fans, he's giving the fans like, hey, let's get hyped. Right. Fans are giving him the business. Let's go. The same thing happened with Bijan. Well, he got a nice pass and got into the end zone. And he's looking at the fans, and everybody's engaged. It was good to see, man. That's what we need heading into Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But first and foremost, this is about, you know, joint competition and matchups. You're trying to get the most for your quarterback, and I only say that to say we're talking with one of our listeners. He said, hey, man, I was in the truck coming over, and I heard you and Mike talk about Ross and probably not seeing Penix in the second preseason game. And I said, yeah, this is the evaluation over the next couple of days is what you would evaluate if you were going to play him Friday. That's how you have to look at this. Now, I don't know, Mike, if they're getting enough from him. He got a lot of reps today, so did Cousins. But that's how you have to look at this, guys. And so, you know, again, what is the preseason for? Young guys, evaluation, some guys maybe trying to make your roster and some of those competition battles on the defensive side. For your quarterback, Mike, for me, it's about reps. And I just don't know if we're getting enough.
And that's why we want to see him in the preseason. That's why, you know, I thought the question we talked about, a couple of questions about it today. I think Zach Klein had one from Channel 2 about, you know, other teams are saying when Joe Burrow says, hey, we've got 15 extra reps. We got 15 more attempts to get things right and get dialed in. You know, when you see, again, the Chiefs and Andy Reid, who's won a Super Bowl, do this with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I don't want to hear about the risk of mitigating injury with a guy who hasn't only played 3 games as a starter in the NFL. I disagree with Raheem 100% on this. I think it's a big mistake, and I hope that you see and he gets what he wants to see tomorrow in the scrimmage, because then if you're not playing him in game 2, you're certainly not going to see Penix in game 3.
No.
And then you got this, you know, for instance, the Darnell Mooney thing. I want to see how your offense functions without Darnell Mooney in real games, in a real-life situation, because that's what you're going to have if this guy can't go week 1 against a divisional rival in Tampa Bay. And by the way, today we mentioned earlier things we saw. Great play. One of the first plays as the first team defense went against Cam Ward and Tennessee's first team defense. We've watched more, admittedly, more of the offense, but what a great throw, man. Penix, and this was clean, play action, no penalties. Carl, nobody would have laid hands on him. It was a real play. It turns into a 52-yard touchdown pass to Casey Washington, sixth-round pick out of Illinois last year. And that was sweet, and that happened. And Casey, I know you're high on him.
I am.
But can he fill the shoes of what Darnell Mooney brings if we have to go with him in week 1?
Well, look, I don't know. You need somebody to stretch the field. He can help do that. The main thing is, do you trust his hands? Casey has shown he can make these plays. He's been doing this week in, week out since we've been up here every day making plays. And as I like to say to you guys, he's flashing. Practice is over and you go, 82, made some catches today. If I don't call your number, if it doesn't come to top of mind, you didn't flash. Casey's done that. And so when we talk about him showing up and when the opportunity arises, because, Mike, he's not getting 7 or 8 balls thrown to him.
Right.
In these situations, it's Drake, Ray, Drake, okay, Casey, make a catch. And he gets it and he makes the most of it. So I like that, but to your point, I don't know, Mike. I want to believe that they believe he can. If Mooney's not ready, But somebody's got to be out there. You're going to have to throw somebody out there that you trust, and we cannot be playing around week one. They will come in, Tampa Bay, and I will tell you guys this right now, knowing exactly what we know. They will come in and say, we need to take away Bijan up front. We don't let them run the football. And then they become one-dimensional, and the only guy they trust to go to is Drake. And if they're able to take that away, now you're putting a lot of pressure on these other guys, including Kyle Pitts. Show up. Week one, Mike, that's what Tampa's going to come in
well,
here
to do. Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's right there. The thing now, it gets a different kind of athlete because Darnell Mooney is a speed burner. But you got a guy that can help things right there, Kyle Pitts. Can Kyle Pitts step in, come to the rescue? Because we talked about how everybody on this team has heard the criticisms. You heard the quarterback, Michael Penix Jr., first day of practice, first day in front of a microphone. Hey, got KP the ball.
Sure did.
Now, today there was a situation where Simmons busts in like the Kool-Aid man, Jeffrey Simmons from Tennessee. Penix rolls out, hits a I don't know. I can't tell you if this was an adjustment, but it looked like it was a bit of improvisation where Pitts rolls out, makes a nice catch, and that would have moved the chains. So Pitts has a chance to be a big hero here if we're going to miss Mooney. We don't know what Mooney's status is because Coach hasn't told us. So that's why we're talking about it.
Yeah.
And then on the defensive side, we heard, and this was some good scuttlebutt, some good intel from our man Damian Lewis. We find out that apparently somebody on Tennessee, we don't know, but a couple guys, they had a lot of families. Both teams had a lot of families here because Georgia produces so many football players.
Sure.
So a lot of families were hanging out. A couple Tennessee players walked by, and one guy goes, man, at 27, that Pierce talks a lot of ish. And I'm like, yeah. So I wonder tomorrow, this is something Sean McVay says why he doesn't like to have these two days of scrimmage, because by day two, coaches have been beating you up about film, and now you come in with some salt and vinegar and some edge, and I could have said the P word, but you get the idea.
For sure.
And now maybe tomorrow, if you're at practice, you might see some scrapping.
Yeah, look, I think interior-wise, that may happen because some guys may have not liked the way they either got blocked. You put your hand in my face today. There were flags. By the way, the officials were out there, so we did have flags. This was as real as a scrimmage kind right. of atmosphere that you can get.
We had some holding.
Yeah, so we had some holding. We had some, you know, hands to the face, stuff that might have set our offense back. We had offsides and stuff like that. But, Mike, if you did something I didn't like today, tomorrow I get you back. And that's when it right. gets edgy. So we'll see. But there wasn't a lot of scrapping today. I thought they got in some good work. And, you know, the main thing is one guy came up to us when we started here at Hooters today. He said, Dukes and Bell, I left. I had to leave early. No injuries. No, that's all you hope for. You want to play hard and get out of these scrimmages, man, with no injuries. Like, that's the main thing. And I said, no, we're good. Everybody came out healthy today. Thank God. And we'll hopefully do that again tomorrow. And then we'll see who's available for Friday, Mike.
Yeah, we saw Bijan working with. You know, they had the individual drills where the defensive backs are covering wide receivers. Bijan actually popped out there for one play. You and I were like, that's what I want to see, Zach Robinson. That's what I want to see. Some more imagination and get Bijan in places where he can really stretch the field. But again, a 52-yard touchdown to a speedy guy like Casey Washington, that's everything Michael Penix Jr. did at Washington. The beautiful throw, hitting him in stride. He missed on a couple of throws, but they were throws that were basically out of bounds or basically not trying to force an INT. So if this was a game, you're living to play another series.
Absolutely.
You're not turning it over.
Well, and that's the key, right? 404-726-0929, talking about some of the things that we saw today. If you're wondering again on the defensive side, there were one-on-ones. We did hear about Ridley. Doing some things on the other field against our defensive backs. But our defense also, early in this scrimmage today or on their side of the field, guys, Cam Ward threw a pick. And that was early because the defensive guys on that side of the field were going nuts. And, you know, Mike, we don't know what Cam Ward's going to be ultimately. First overall pick, they're growing pains, but they're playing, and he played in their first preseason game. But this is a learning curve for him. And as good and as calm as he looked at Miami, this is a different world. And so – he did throw an interception early, but if you're asking, well, what Cam Ward looked like, it wasn't a day where I think they're writing home to mom and saying, hey, we're so glad we got him. I think it was a growing day for him.
Right. I think we'll tell you what they said up in Tennessee, what the Tennessee media had to say at 5 o'clock as part of our Falcon report. You'll find it interesting. But, yeah, man, there's a reason the Falcons look pretty good today. I think we drafted really well. We've got a nice mix of veterans. We saw super agent Todd France today. One of his guys, Carl, is Leonard Floyd.
Yeah.
Other guy is Jeffrey Simmons. But, I mean, there's a lot of playmakers on this team. Tennessee was the worst team in football last year. That's why they had the right to pick number one. So it's going to be a minute for them to turn things around. But they do have some elements. One thing that we talked to Dave Archer about today off mic, he had a huge offensive line. It's a big bunch, a lot of size on that O-line.
Yeah, they've always – I think that goes back to Vrabel, Mike.
Right.
When they were one of the most physically dominating teams. That's why I'm buying into what New England's going to be. They may not be there yet, But he knows what kind of dudes he likes to bring in. And they've always drafted and brought in guys with size. And remember, that was a dominant run game and defense. That was Arthur Smith, and the defense was solid. So I think a lot of that has transferred over to Callahan, the new coach, and the way that they want to do things. And by the way, his dad is the offensive line coach. He's one of the best offensive line coaches in the league. So right. They know what they want to do. I just don't know if they have the guys. And by the way, their starting running back is not here. Well, he's here, but he's hurt. Tyjae Spears, he's not playing. So that's another thing we didn't – like Bijan for us, that's their guy, man. He's fast and really good.
We were talking earlier about the guys at the bar here. Hello, guys at the bar at the Hooters Mall of Georgia. So these two guys right here,
yeah,
these are long-suffering Falcon fans. He's the one who said the hopium thing.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about, are we selling hopium? Vegas has us at 7.5. Neil, one of our big listeners today, says, well, 7.5 means you're close to 8, you know, almost 8, 9. So are we a 9-win team or a 10-win team?
We're a 9-win team for sure. And I know that sounds harsh, but again, guys, we should have been a 9-win team last year. And I know it's so hard and revisionist history and, oh, it didn't happen, and it didn't. We should have been a 9-win team last year. But that's neither here nor there, Mike. I think we are going to go over that threshold of 7.5. The question is, for me, is 9 wins get you in the playoffs in the NFC?
Well, that's the thing. And if you don't get 9 wins, you know, you could be a 9-win team and not make the wild card potentially.
You could.
You know, that's where we're at because, you know, between the Lions, the Vikings, and Packers, they're saying really good things about J.J. McCarthy, by the way. I mean, we're going to see him in week 2.
Hey,
so his preseason performance week 1 was nothing special, but they apparently are getting what they want out of him up there at practice.
Yeah, look, I watched the Vikings that first. He was in there for the first couple of series. He looked solid. Was not, I mean, he had a nice couple of completions through in tight windows. But I'll say this, and we did not mention this either in our 4th and 1 segment. Jordan Love having surgery on his left thumb.
Non-throwing.
And we need to mention that because we're talking about all these quarterbacks. He is expected to be back next week, but that is a big deal coming out of Green Bay. But, yeah, man, I think J.J. McCarthy showed them last year he could play. I think he would have started last year if he didn't receive the injury and then had to sit out, and Sam Darnold steps in and has a remarkable year.
He had a great preseason last year. You're right about that.
But
so,
we'll see. I do think we're over that number, but we got time to figure it out, man. I'm still wanting to find out a few more things here at camp. There are these position battles, Mike, that have not been resolved yet.
No, I mean, look, we got – I want to see Rook. I want to see Rook busted up the other – tomorrow. I want to see Rook get in there. Rook in the Titans' backfield, okay? Because this is where the rubber really needs to hit the road. Bergeron was a top 40 pick. He's a great guard. We love him. You know, Rook is a top 40 pick. In other words, he's one of the top 40 guys selected. He's got to play like it. We're dependent on him, man, in the middle. And Jalen Walker, there's a video. Guys are already showing his video. Jalen Walker getting handled in one-on-one drills with Tennessee. I said to you yesterday, he does have a tendency at times to get swallowed up inside the pads. They're going to have to coach that up.
They are. I said, you got to be patient with him. And that's where I'm at. I mean, look, we want him to be out here and making remarkable plays. It hasn't happened like that for him.
Doesn't mean it's not. We're just, as we said yesterday, just telling you what we've seen.
Yes, but I also think, Mike, again, there's a learning curve for him as well, and they're using him as a hybrid. He's going to be all over the place. I don't think you're going to see him line up in one particular spot every single play, and that's going to give him an advantage to do some different things. All right, man, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, man, the ownership of the Celtics, remember they make the big sale that's going down?
Yes.
A little bit of a hullabaloo from the outgoing owners. I'll tell you about that. Also coming up, Denzel Washington. Will Jerry Jones listen to him? Because Denzel's got some strong opinions on America's team and getting stuck last night. Jerome, shut up. And also, I got stuck last night in movie hell at the hotel, Carl.
Uh-oh.
Terrible decision last night, a movie. I just wasted 2 hours of my life. I want you to talk about it coming up next.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.